Picture, if you will, Donald Trump on Jeopardy. And let's say the subject is the last one on the board, because he knows not that much about it. Middle East history is the subject. I can imagine the following taking place. So let's say the last question on the board is Middle East history, and Donald Trump is one of the contestants, and he says, Middle East history for $500. And he gets very excited because it's the Daily Double. Okay. So he gets so excited, he decides to bet everything, which is really not betting much because he's only earned $100 up to that point, which is very minuscule in the currency of Jeopardy. But Alex Trebek reads the question. It says, this organization is responsible for the terrorist act bombing of the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. He repeats, this organization is responsible for the terrorist act bombing the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. Donald quips, gosh, that wasn't one of my hotels. And then he says, who is Hezbollah? Alex says, no, I'm sorry, President-elect Trump. The answer is the Israeli terrorist group Irgun, who in 1946, led by future Prime Minister Menachem Begin, bombed the King David Hotel in Jerusalem, killing 91 people. Of all the question marks surrounding a Trump presidency, perhaps most revolve around foreign policy because many, like me, believe he is ignorant about the world, especially about the Middle East. So that brings up Waled Fares, P-H-A-R-E-S. Who, you may ask? Waled, W-A-L-I-D, Fares, P-H-A-R-E-S. Remember that name, Waled Fares. He is Trump's, or one of Trump's, top foreign policy advisors. He also was a one-time advisor to a 2012 GOP candidate, Mitt Romney. So who is Waled Fares? You can always go to the Tangents website, by the way, and on the far right-hand column, you'll always find the links to what I kind of base my talk around on Gaza Corner. Since fleeing to the United States from Lebanon in 1990, when the Syrians took over Lebanon, Fares became a university professor. Then after the 9/11 attacks, an entire anti-Islam industry rose up on the right, with some conservatives, including Fares, advocating the view that the West was locked in a global civilizational conflict with Islam. Appearing on Fox News 2 months after the attacks, Fares warned of the danger posed by Al Jazeera, an Arabic news network. He told Bill O'Reilly that, quote, linguistically, the Arabic language is a very powerful one. It has a lot of codes. It could be used in a lethal way, unquote. Fares soon was in demand as a TV analyst. He was MSNBC, NBC terrorism analyst from 2003 through 2006, and notably, he became Fox News' so-called terrorism and Middle East expert since 2007. Trump recently described Fares as a counter-terrorism expert, and mainstream networks regard him as a pundit on the threat of radical Islam. A professor of political science at California State University, Professor Asad Abu-Khalil, has this interesting insight taken from a Salon.com piece. Quote, with an Arabic name, he came across to the ill-informed viewer as an indigenous expert. He even sprinkled his English commentary with Arabic words. His shtick was not exactly original. He reliably articulated Israeli definitions of terrorism, in which indiscriminate violence against civilians, even the killing of children, which, when perpetrated by Israel, do not qualify, unquote. According to Professor Abu Khalil, Fares offers a separate persona when interviewed in Arabic language media. Quote, he has even made appearances on Al Jazeera, but there is a curious difference in Fares's commentary for the Arab media. On Arab TV, he speaks cautiously and does not make outlandish claims about Islamic terrorism. For all his pro-Israeli statements in English, he never articulates them in Arabic, unquote. Fares's message, according to a excellent Mother Jones investigative piece that is linked at the Tangent's homepage, he is consistent with anti-Muslim figures in the United States. And by that I mean, he wrote a book called Future Jihad. Quote, this is again Fares. Jihadists within the West pose as civil rights advocates working to ensure that almost all mosques, educational centers, and socioeconomic institutions fall into their hands. Fares goes on to say these stealth jihadists are merely waiting for a holy moment to strike. Unquote. He appears tied at the hip with anti-Muslim segments of the far right. He's been a columnist for David Horowitz's arch-conservative magazine called Front Page, and he endorsed two books by Robert Spencer, who believes American Muslims are part of a conspiracy to establish Taliban-style Sharia law in the United States. Fares believes all forms of political Islam are evil. The American Arab Anti-Discrimination Committee, known as the acronym ADC, described Fares as Islamophobic and a war criminal. Quoting the ADC, the decision to select a proven anti-Muslim propagandist as his foreign policy advisor is particularly troubling in light of Donald Trump's escalating anti-Muslim rhetoric. Trump's campaign of bigotry and xenophobia has already attracted the support of many domestic hate groups, and the selection of Dr. Fares broadens the Trump campaign's appeal to include international sectarianism as well. The Council on American Islamic Relations, the acronym CAIR, C-A-I-R, had this to say, quote, Dr. Fares is nothing more than an ideologue who has devoted his life to warning of fantastical plots to bring all of Western civilization under the control of radical Islam, unquote. All of the above, though, in a sense, pales compared to one chapter of his life that you won't find in his CV. He prefers to keep it quiet. It's his time as a high-ranking political official in a militia responsible for massacres during Lebanon's 15-year civil war from 1975 to 1990. The Lebanese civil war killed more than 100,000 people, and during the war, Walid Fares allied himself with the right-wing Christian militias armed and financed by Israel. Blogger Jim Loeb wrote, quote, past ties to the militant Falange movement in Lebanon, notorious for its violent repression of Palestinians, committing several massacres during the Lebanese Civil War. What Loeb is referring to in terms of the massacres includes the Sabra and Shatila massacre, where up to 3,500 civilians, mostly Palestinians and Lebanese Shiites, primarily women and children and elderly, were murdered. Up to 3,500 were murdered in 1.5 days in one of the worst atrocities in the modern Middle East. During the 1980s, Fares spread his ideological beliefs to right-wing Christian militias, armed and financed, as I said, by Israel, justifying the war against Lebanon's Muslim and Druze factions. In trying to pressure Israel to keep backing the Christian-led militia known as the SLA, the South Lebanon Army, Fares worked with Etienne Sakir, also known as Abu Ars. During the Civil War, Sakir headed the Guardians of the Cedars Militia, described as an extremist Christian group by a 1993 State Department report. Guardians of Cedar Militia's slogan was, quote, "Kill a Palestinian and you shall enter heaven," unquote. In 1982, Sakir defended the Sabra and Shatila massacres, calling the Palestinians a cancer on Lebanon. Again, the Tangents website links to an excellent investigative piece by Mother Jones about Fares during the Lebanon Civil War. It's written by Adam Sewer, now an editor at BuzzFeed. In 1978, an umbrella group of assorted Christian militias emerged in Lebanon, known as the Lebanese Forces. Quoting from this piece from Mother Jones, Fares became one of the group's chief ideologists, working closely with a unit that specialized in psychological warfare. Regina Snyfer, who served in the unit in 1981, remembers attending lectures where Fares told Christian militiamen that they were the vanguard of a war between the West and Islam. She says Fares believed that the civil war was the latest in a series of civilizational conflicts between Muslims and Christians. It was his view that because Christians were eternally the victims of Muslim persecution, the only solution was to create a national home for Christians in Lebanon modeled after Israel. Like many Maronite Christians at that time, Fares believed that Lebanese Christians were ethnically distinct from Arabs. This has since proven to be without any scientific basis. Snyfer now lives in France. She's an author. She wrote a book in 1995 detailing her experiences in Lebanon's civil war and recalls that in his speeches, quote, "He justified our fighting against the Muslims by saying we should have our own country, our own state, our own entity, and we have to be separate. That ideology helped rationalize the indiscriminate sectarian violence that characterized the civil war." Fares, if you just tuned in, he's one of Trump's top foreign policy advisors. He was a close advisor to Samir Jaja, who was a Lebanese warlord who rose from leading hit squads to ousting a rival in a bloody coup and becoming the head of the Christian militia Lebanese forces in January 1986. Jaja's ruthlessness was very well known. Quoting the Mother Jones piece, he led a team of Christian militiamen who killed a political rival. And according to Thomas Friedman's 1989 book, From Beirut to Jerusalem, Jaja's team didn't just kill the rival and his bodyguards. They also murdered his wife. They murdered his four-year-old daughter and the family dog. Fares was aware of the crimes of Samir Jaja, yet remained close to him. After Jaja became leader of the Lebanese forces, Fares was hired to become responsible for training the lead officers in its ideology. And a quick footnote to Samir Jaja, he was found guilty for ordering four political assassinations, including that of Lebanon's Prime Minister Rashid Karami in 1987 and the attempted assassination of Defense Minister Michel Meur in 1991. He was sentenced to four death sentences, spent 11 years in solitary confinement, and then was given amnesty in 2005. He actually ran for president of Lebanon in 2014. He did lose. Because Fares provided ideological and religious teachings for the Christian militias, his life was in danger when the Syrians took over Lebanon in 1990. He fled to the U.S., and 26 years later, he now is one of Trump's top foreign policy advisors. And I assume primary architect for Middle East policy. To give you one example of what Fares currently advocates, here's one example. In June 2015, Fares praised a letter signed by zealots such as former U.S. Ambassador to the UN, the infamous John Bolton, former Connecticut Senator and Gore VP designate, remember that, Joe Lieberman, and Uber Zionist lawyer Alan Dershowitz. And what this letter was, it was in support of the People's Mujahideen of Iran, the acronym is MEK, M-E-K, an Iranian organization that advocates for the overthrow of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Fares has compared Iran to ISIS, claiming in a Forbes piece, quote, there are few real distinctions between these two groups, unquote. That's what he believes. I wonder if Fares will at some point, I mean, Trump's going to be president for 4 years, right? At some point, will he encourage Trump or perhaps Israel to commit a military strike in Iran? Or if, for example, let's say Hezbollah gains control legitimately in his native Lebanon, whether he would then espouse military intervention. I also wonder if Trump knows or cares about the dark chapter of Fares's life in Lebanon that has been largely kept under wraps and outside of the mainstream media.